I'm a farm kid. Farming is hard work. And what we need to do, and we need to concentrate, particularly in this era where, all of us are striving to do more with less, again, is think strategically and look at the tools that you've got, that can kind of help you do and make your operation more profitable.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. AB Vista, new nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production. You can combat mycotoxins in your feed with Fumezyme from DSM Firmenich. Fumezyme is the only FDA-approved enzyme to degrade fumonisins. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet. Why risk it? Your herd may have antigenic gaps that are not being covered by the products currently available. Custom-made vaccines provide a unique advantage in that they can be formulated to a herd's specific bacterial and viral needs. Choose the exact isolates, adjuvant, packaging and size you need with Vaccinova for a vaccine formulated to your needs. Find out more by visiting us at vaccinova.us.com. That's vaxxinova.us.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast show. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have Dr. Robert Swatley as my guest. Dr. Swatley is an associate clinical professor of agriculture and biological engineering at Purdue University. And Dr. Robert goes by Bob, so we're going to call him Bob on our show. Welcome.
Thank you so very much. It's good to be here.
Bob is a second time guest on our show. So he's, if you've listened to a previous podcast, you'll get to know him a little bit more on this show, but I'm going to ask him to take a few minutes and introduce himself, tell us about his background, what he does and at Purdue.
Well, I suppose I'm at a land grant sort of type of college. We're an R1 institution here, and we really believe that universities should do not only teaching but research, and as well we need to transfer the technology that we create kind of back out into the industry and the community that sponsors us. And so I'm very big on this sort of thing, and one of the things that I do is work in sort of the precision livestock area. And so I suggested here for this topic that we try to provide an introduction on what the industry is starting to refer to as big data.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by our discussion today because we're going to talk about big data and the future of swine production. So, you read and hear so much about the term big data that, you can think quite broadly. So I want you to start us off today and tell us what you mean by big data.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, a lot of buzzwords get generated in the media, and we don't quite pick up on that. But when you think about this one actually seems to be, to a certain degree, somewhat self-explanatory. And since it's new in the swine industry, let me use kind of an example from a different industry and then kind of tie it back to swine. I mean, something I think, all of our farmers and our active practitioners certainly in swine culture understand is how to climb into a tractor and drive tractor around. Well, a modern tractor has on it what they call a CAN bus system, and it has sensors all over the place, and those sensors record data back up into the computer system. And in one of my classes, I actually have the students, kind of tie into that data feed. And, we run a little tractor, a skid steer around for 5 or 10 minutes, and I hand them the file, and they're like, oh, my gosh, Dr. Bob, there's 70,000 lines of code here. And so very quickly, when you have computers, data can jump in there and become overwhelming. So now if we start to think about actually recording data for individual animals, and folks, this is where it's going to go. We're going to start treating individual animals as kind of a unique set and a unique characteristic rather than, you know, look at things from kind of a herd management file. Those sows or boars are basically going to have a kind of a folder on the computer, just like each and every one of us do when we go to the doctor. And you're going to have data available for each of those animals. Now, again, very quickly, say you're taking data, you know, every 10th of an hour. Well, okay, so over the course of an hour, I get 10 data readings on something. Over the course of the day, that now, you know, suddenly I have 240. And, you know, then at the end of the week, you know, you get the idea very, very quickly. It just explodes on you. So what you have to kind of think about, you know, big data and getting started on it and not to, you know, be overwhelmed right away, you have to understand that you yourself, the individual, are not going to have to look at all this big data. There are going to be programs to help you sort it out. And they're going to look for kind of the hidden nuggets that are down inside all of that. And these codes or these apps, if you will, I mean, a lot of them will probably wind up being on your phone, are going to provide you with key information, you know, instead of just kind of sending somebody out to walk the barns and look for animals that maybe need help. You're going to get something that says, hey, we need somebody in, you know, pin 142 right now. And the rest of them are fine. So this is going to be a way, really, once we get it all kind of the kinks worked out of it, amplify the individual's efforts within swine culture.
Absolutely. So there's a little bit of this type of thing with, you know, automatic sow feeding, right?
Absolutely.
You know, so we've got a little bit of a taste of that. You know, tell us how this big data can work a little bit more in the swine culture.
Well, no, that's exactly right. So, I mean, it has to start with what your operator wants to know. What are you on your operation needing to know? Now, if you're focused on performance and such, and obviously a lot of people are, and that is kind of why one of the first things we got, as you mentioned, Tara, was, you know, some of these automatic feed consumption monitors. But folks, I mean, I think it's probably also coming for water. It's probably also coming for the animal's activity. I mean, there's a big one. If we don't spot activity for certain periods of time, we've got one that's lame. Well, again, that's where you send the hand out and say, hey, honey, are you doing okay? And you'll find out what's wrong with that animal. In addition to that, I mean, I think just general health of the animals. You know, we're becoming more and more concerned. Again, I think this goes back to what I was saying earlier about treating each of the animals kind of as an individual, being concerned about their general welfare and being able to work on that. So probably if we just start from a general health perspective, probably one of the next key, just simple indicators you want to get is the animal's temperature. This is going to help you if you understand when the animal's overheated, whether the animal's got sick, you know, if they're already in the farrowing barn and, you know, they're close. You know, you can actually trigger when you need to get somebody there with animal temperature. So you're going to have that probably. And again, this is sort of some crystal ball gazing on my part, but I expect a lot of these sensors to eventually be built into ear tags.
That was my next question, is how do you get it in the animal or in the animal?
I'm expecting a great deal of them will wind up being built into ear tags, where we'll be able to use Wi-Fi types of connections to pick that information up. But if you think about that from a technology sort of suite standpoint, that ear tag also becomes an ideal place to maybe also check for pulse rate, blood oxygen. So, you know, just the fact that, well, you want to get this one piece of data, but oh my gosh, that's a great place, you know, to hang on a sensor that could really, you know, pick up a lot more about how that animal is doing at that moment. So, you know, that's certainly potentially one way we'll collect that data. There are some camera systems out there right now that are able to just sort of record general motion and maybe even classify it within to, you know, just standing, eating, drinking, you know, laying on their side, you know, laying on the belly, just different types of, you know, nursing. But the problem right now is that those need an kind of an artificial intelligence interpreter and require a lot of computer power. But again, it's coming. It's only going to get more efficient and better. And again, that type of thing gives you a handle on that animal's general welfare out there. Again, you mentioned earlier, Tara, the consumption meters. That's also a real good one because, you know, that one, you can also take that data and kind of feed it back into your performance metrics. So, again, it really starts with what does your operation need to know? And, you know, in spite of the fact that this gets huge, you know, obviously what we want is instead of it being overwhelming to the poor manager or, you know, the foreman in the barns or just even the operators, we want to have you be able to tap into a computer that does kind of the dirt work at it and sifts through all of it and gives you the key indicators that then you can go out and it's actionable. You can do something about it.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think, you know, it's all a matter of saving time, right? Instead of using up more time, because there's a lot to do on the farm and there's a lot of animals. So when you think about
goodness gracious, yes,
how much data there will be, it can seem, you know, a little daunting. But if you open up an app and it says, you know, sow number 54 didn't eat this morning, you know, that's an actionable item, right?
Absolutely. Let's send somebody out to find out why.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the other questions I have is, you know, are there any other parameters that you've seen out there or have, you know, had some ideas about in terms that are measurable? One that I've had and always thought we spend a lot of time doing is just a way to count pigs as they come in the door or go out of the barn. So any other things that we haven't heard about?
Well, you know, I've seen, and again, I'm just trying to more provide an introduction for the future here. There's a lot of people trying a lot of different things. I have seen actually a sorting scale that, you know, for a feeder barn, for instance, that, and again, working on an ear tag that is sort of like, you know, walking out of a store with something. It's got a radio transference chip in it so that the machine can tell which animal it is. It weighs it. If it's a little bit underweight, it goes over to a little richer diet. If it's inside specs for the age of the animal, the chute sends it a different way. There's a lot of very, very cool things coming on. One of the things, and I'm very much into the development of instrumentation. And one of the things that, you know, we've been working very heavily on is another style of kind of internal monitor. A lot of researchers and potentially maybe even you would want this during the farrowing barn period, want to know respiration on the animal. And obviously we'd also like to know about estrus recovery. So we've here at Purdue had, you know, some experimental sensors that would go to the animal and kind of report back on that. Again, the issue is that you don't want to do anything intrusive to the animal. You don't want to affect, you know, them in any, you know, negative way at all. It really has to be kind of transparent and unbothersome to them. So from that aspect, you know, it's just not in anybody's best interest to have something that, that is going to be an irritant or, you know, that they want to rub off or, you know, back into to try to dislodge it or get it out. Again, you have to be very, very careful about that design. But again, the first question is, well, what do I need to know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think if you think about the small animal world, right, we have microchips and pets, right, we've had those for years. And I think, you know, that's for a different purpose. And for a food animal, you know, that's something that, you know, you probably want to stay away from in terms of, you know, the complications at harvest. But an ear tag, right, for a pig seems to be the right method. A collar or something like they use in the dairy world, doesn't work so good in swine.
That's right. That's right. Our critters are kind of ornery and, you know, they don't like that stuff. So it's got to be something that's acceptable to them. That's right, Tara.
Yeah, right. So it takes a lot of, you know, I think time and experimentation to get the right instrument, right? To one, like you mentioned, not to be intrusive, but also to give you the data that you want. So very cool. What about other types of data, big data in the barn? You know, are you working in the space of kind of ventilation or any of the other things not specific to the animal?
Yes. Yes. No, I was going to say that's what absolutely. That is also a huge area is environmental recording of what's going on in the barn. I have a colleague here at Purdue, Dr. Nee, who has fully instrumented lots of barns. And I mean, it's amazing the amount of things that, you know, going through your data that you can find. For instance, he's also very interested in, at least at Purdue, but many of our experimental barns are you know, floor over pit type of construction. And he's set several different ammonia and other species, sensors throughout the barn. And he can literally show you contour maps and hotspots. And we had one that was puzzling to us. Well, why in the world is the ammonia all very high, just right in this one spot? And come to find out then, as we go in the barn to look at it, well, there was a water leak right there. And so it was dropping in, and that was a highly stirred area. And that was a big ammonia emitter from that pit right there where that leak was. And again, we picked it up on our instrumentation. Other things, of course, again, kind of back to your comment about, the economics and performance stuff, certainly in our cold winters, we don't want to heat any more air than we have to. And so how do you walk that delicate balance between having clean, fresh air for those animals, keeping your nitrogens and your sulfide concentrations down, and yet optimize on the running of the barn and your gas consumption to keep the animals warm? And big data can help you do that and, again, save operational costs as well.
Absolutely. So, and as a veterinarian, I've noted that and always wanted a more sophisticated system that when the heater goes out, right, the pilot light goes out for whatever reason, that does happen in some barns and it gets cool overnight, the pigs get chilled. And so then, you know, for me, it creates more stress on the animal and we usually have some sickness that incurs. And so things like
that. That's right. Nobody wants to get up at 2 a.m, but if it's a question of getting up at 2 a.m, go right, relight the furnace versus having sick pigs 2-3 days from now and a vet out there for a 12-hour shift, which one would you rather do?
Yeah, exactly. Which
that's right. You want that call on your phone so you can get out there and fix it.
Yeah, which is less costly, right, for the producer and the economics of the operation. So
precisely.
Very good. So how does a producer get started looking into this technology? What would be the steps to utilize this?
Well, again, I just can't help but go back to the strategy that I gave you. What do you want to know? If you're having health issues, then maybe you need to look at barn environment or, again, some of these metrics that give you information about how that animal is performing on a different health-wise basis. If things are in good shape there and, you know, we're looking for performance metrics that we want for more information on, then maybe you do concentrate on those consumption type meters. Eventually, you're probably going to wind up having something probably from each of the buckets that I described reporting back to you. You're just not going to be able to afford not to in the long run. So getting started, I think, is a matter of thinking strategically for your operation and prioritizing what you need to know to help you manage your herds better. And again, start there, start doing a little searching around. All of our big ag schools in North America have some amazing, information, piles just there for the taking for you to come in and look on and just start digging around and seeing what's available. This is absolutely a growing area. Some of the things you and I have talked about here, maybe are in just the research and development stage right now. But again, if you know what you want, you could get yourself in a position to kind of play a role in that development, at least by being an end consumer that's feeding that information back in. Hey, where do I find out how to get this? And again, what do you need for your farm?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, what do you want to improve on, or what could make your operation, more efficient or profitable? So
no, concentrate there. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, perfect. Well, we're concluding our time together today with Dr. Robert Stwally. If you have any comments or questions for us at the SwineNet Podcast Show or for Bob, please send us a message on your platform. Thank you for listening to our show. If you like what you listen to, please give us a thumbs up on your podcast platform. And Bob, before we sign off, do you have any final thoughts, take homes for our listeners today?
Well, again, certainly. I'm a farm kid. Farming is hard work. And what we need to do, and we need to concentrate, particularly in this era where, all of us are striving to do more with less, again, is think strategically and look at the tools that you've got, that can kind of help you do and make your operation more profitable.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. It seems that, we have more and more to do and less hours or people to do it with. So we can be more efficient.
That's exactly true. That's exactly true.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Keyes Manufacturing is America's number one source for cheese meal and dairy powders for your feed. Check us out at KeysManufacturing.com. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. Visit us at vaccinova.us.com for more info. That's vaxxinova.us.com. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. An animal nutrition technology company offering innovative products and new applications for the swine industry. The combination of AB Vista enzymes, technical services, and nutrition expertise provides the industry with new opportunities to further improve production efficiencies. Fiber is receiving renewed interest due to its influence on the microbiome, and AB Vista has brought together research experts to discuss the industry's knowledge of fiber functionality and to introduce a stimbiotic targeted to improve fiber digestion. To request access, contact NAM@abvista.com. That's NAM@abvista.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. But before I let you go, we have a hallmark for our SwineNet podcast show where we ask our guests three specific questions. So, Bob, share with us what your favorite book or resource is that you use in your area of expertise.
Well, when I work with my partners doing animal science-based and specifically swine culture type research, I have found an amazing book that then transfers really into all animal culture. And it's the Field Guide for Animal Care that's been put together by the Collective Professional Societies. I mean, it just tells you, hey, this is the range I need to be in. Here's what I can kind of expect these animals to consume. Here's kind of the outside envelope. It tells you, you know, when you're getting beyond that. Let's just say it's not like afternoon novel reading, but on the other hand, it's an incredibly valuable reference to use.
Yeah, it's a resource to go to when you're building a protocol or...
It's my go-to resource. You know, probably the other one in the swine area. I'm just a huge fan of the old Midwest Plan Service barn and building facilities types of things. There are just some amazing designs down through there. And there's probably something that looks like your place that can, you know, you can get a good few good clues on how to improve your own operation in. So, but I'm an engineer. I like to look at building plans and things like that. So.
Well, it takes all expertise to make a production system work well. So definitely not my area, but I definitely appreciate people who are working in that space. So, Bob, what about a book or resource that's outside your area of expertise, something you think we should take a look at or tune in on?
Well, if you really get into this big data and you start seeing all kinds of information come in and you move up to a little more intermediate and advanced level, and believe me, you can quite easily. You're going to have to start writing your own kind of Python or R codes to do analysis. And in that case, probably the best, most readable guide to statistics that I know of is by a gentleman named Andy Field. And it's called Using SPSS for Statistical Analysis. My wife and I treat that as the Bible in our engineering work when it comes to just data collection in all the different areas we work in, certainly animal culture, it's right in there again. And back to the sort of just the definition of big data, the more information you have, the more these powerful statistical tools can help you because you'll clearly see when something veers out of the normal. And you kind of have to understand that. So that would be the one I would suggest that would be a broadening or inspirational piece for someone. And again, it's quite readable.
Right. No, that's good advice. And one more point on that, you know, if you're wanting to learn more, but maybe don't want to, be the person doing it, but just understanding that space, there are consultants like yourself that can, help get the work done, but just having a basic understanding of how do I look at this data?
And again, I would advise, take full advantage of your extension services in your local universities.
Yeah, absolutely. So on a little bit different note, different question, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
Oh, that, it's just so easy. It's a curiosity about what they do and a drive to learn how to do things better. It's someone who's just so into the work and wanting to do the very best job that they can, that they're constantly learning, that curiosity to go and pick up new information, to at least view different possible ways to doing it. That helps you decide whether what you're doing is best or maybe you can, pull a few strings from that other individual. So I think it's that drive to do better and the curiosity and a willingness to learn new things. products.
Yeah, absolutely. Spoken like a true professor and teacher, having a student wanting and willing to learn and being curious and asking questions. So,
well, I think my point is, though, you don't have to be a college student to have that.
Oh, no, not at all.
A true professional wants to learn more. I mean, at whatever level they're working, you know, someone who's making something, into a career and has a desire to do it better. That's what I want to see. I want to see somebody that, willing to find out more.
Yeah, we call it a lifelong learner.
That's right.
Well, it's been a joy to have you on the show. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll cross paths sometime down the road.
Thank you for having me, Tara.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.